Welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, with You're the Cure. Check out VeritasWellness.health. Past archive programs, other important information, all found there right at VeritasWellness.health. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good, good, good. Good to see you back. We missed you over Labor Day weekend. Hope you had a great weekend, but here we are. And again, along the way, if you have any questions, like to chime in, you can certainly do that on our text line at 806-745-5800. That's 806 745-5800 along the way. All right, so today's show is about
man's wisdom and how we have to be careful with just jumping to conclusions when we make an observation in science. So specifically, we're going to get into nitric oxide, which is a molecule that was formally discovered and identified and named and a Nobel Prize awarded for this to one of the professors in medical school. When I was a freshman at UT Houston Medical School, Dr. Fred Murad won the Nobel Prize. They threw a huge party for him down in Houston for this observation that he made. So we'll get into that. But first, right off the bat, you just remind me by the promo there, Angie, Nicole, and Kim, who are our wellness navigators, they reminded me that I really need to promote the class. You know, the name of the radio show is You're the Cure. And we're serious. I'm serious. When I named the show that years ago, it's because I was convinced the body fixes itself. And it does. It's amazing. And people, of course, get this with a paper cut. Something simple as a paper cut. You don't even think twice about it. Your body's going to clot that thing off and cure itself. Broken bone. As long as it's lined up pretty close, it'll grow back together. Those two things are amazing when you really look at the intricacies of building a clot on a paper cut. It's fascinating the cascade of events that happen in the body just to make a little clot on a paper cut. Y'all can't see the top of my head right now, but I banged my head this weekend, had to get stapled, five staples. Micah, one of my PAs, put some staples in my head. And that's all we got to do. We got to get those two edges close enough, and the body's going to fix itself. It's incredible. So this chronic disease epidemic that we see, it's simply a matter of not stewarding our health the right way. And a lot of that boils down to poor advice, poor medical advice, because of man's wisdom. Man makes an observation of something in the body, in the physiology, and then jumps to some conclusions. So back to the class, VeritasWellness.health, there's a four-week class. It's 1 hour a week on Zoom with a wellness navigator, live Q&A time. You can watch my videos that go along with this class are free. You can go on our YouTube page, Veritas Wellness, and just watch the videos. But then the Q&A and the hand-holding and the support, and here's how you actually implement changes in your life to not be a standard American. That's what Kim, Angie, and Nicole can help you do. These Veritas Wellness navigators are great at navigating you through this. And I'm convinced if people go through these classes and implement what they're taught and are supported in that implementation, they won't need to go to Veritas Medical. They won't need a doctor. You will be the cure. Your body will fix itself. So real quick, before we jump into nitric oxide, I want to give an example of this observation. And granted, man can be biased in his observation also. So there was a man in the 1940s, 1950s, Ansel Keys. He made an observation that some countries that eat a lot of saturated fat and cholesterol in their diet have more heart attacks than other countries. And he published this study called the Seven Countries Study. And we were, from that point on, we were destined into this heart, this diet heart hypothesis, this theory or hypothesis that dietary cholesterol, saturated fat, is going to cause heart attacks. He was on the cover of Time magazine, and from that point on, we just pounded this message home through doctors, through television, through pharmaceutical ads, and the whole statin cholesterol drugs came out of this theory. About 20 or 30 years later, Ansel Keys came out and said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. That only applies to animals that aren't made to eat animal products. So herbivores, they fed rabbits and other herbivores a lot of egg yolks, and it raised their cholesterol. And so he jumped to this conclusion. But back to the seven countries, he forgot to tell everybody there were 15 other countries that did not fit, like France. France ate the most saturated fat of anybody in the world and had the least amount of heart attacks. He didn't publish the French data, and he didn't publish the other 14 countries that didn't fit his theory, his preconceived notions and biases. This is one example of man observes something, man is biased, or even if he's not biased, he can jump to conclusions, but he doesn't see the other side of the coin. He doesn't see the whole picture. Luckily, now after dozens and dozens and dozens of studies have come out to say saturated fat and dietary cholesterol are not associated with heart disease, dozens and dozens of studies saying this. Finally, this is a Journal of American College of Cardiology, August 2020, Volume 76, Issue 7, August of this year. And the journal, the American College of Cardiology, did a review of all these, not all, but a number of these cholesterol papers. And what they found was foods relatively rich in saturated fatty acids, such as whole fat, dairy, dark chocolate, and unprocessed meat, are not associated with increased cardiovascular disease risk or diabetes risk. There is no robust evidence that current population-wide arbitrary upper limits on saturated fat consumption in the United States will prevent heart disease or reduce mortality. Translation, the Journal of the American College of Cardiology saying there's not a relationship between the saturated fat in your whole fat dairy, so go eat your full fat cream, and your steak, grass fed naturally raised steak, because here's the next thing they put out. They put a little graphic with cream and cheese and whole fat milk and the steak and dark chocolate on this graphic, but they say current evidence health effects of saturated fatty acids depend on the interacting effects from naturally occurring food components and from unhealthy compounds introduced by processing. Translation, when you give whole food that's unprocessed, this natural whole unprocessed red meat and dark chocolate and whole fat dairy, raw milk, that's healthy. The unhealthy compounds are introduced by processing. That's a direct quote. It's the processed food that's the problem. That would be margarine and all the highly processed vegetable oils. Ancestrally, we were healthy. I want to apologize, guys. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned we'd be playing a recorded show about breathing, and that will play next week. We had some technical difficulties. But on that show, we're going to talk about a man named George Catlin. He was an American painter in the 1800s. He left the big cities of Boston and New York, and he traveled to the plains, and he observed American Indian tribes, and he asked the chiefs, how many of your babies die? How many of your kids under 5 years old die? And they really couldn't remember of any except one or two from accidents, like a horse kicked a kid in the head. The mortality rate at that time in the modern cities of London and New York and Manchester, close to 50%. Half the kids didn't make it to their fifth birthday. So the reason I'm saying that is because I talk about modern disease like heart attacks. The first heart attack ever recorded was in 1912 in America. There was one in the entire year. And people say, well, and cancer was very unheard of too. Well, people just didn't live long enough. Life expectancy at the turn of the century was 50 years old. No, It wasn't. If you take out the kids who didn't make it to their fifth birthday, you take those out. If you made it past your fifth birthday, you live long and healthy before all this processed food came in. And that's, if you really study the literature, it's the processing of the food, the iron fortification of the food, these conclusions that we can do it better than God's original design. So we need to be real careful. And the evidence to the contrary is that I'm holding a book right now, Cholesterol is Not the Culprit, by Fred Kumro. And Morley is with us today. I don't think we mentioned that yet. Morley was able to talk with Dr. Kumro many times, sang him happy birthday, I believe, on his 100th birthday. And Fred Kumro was telling everybody this in the long, 50 years ago, was trying to raise the red flag on margarine and heart disease and how these polyunsaturated fats were causing heart attacks. Nobody would listen. Finally, he had to sue the FDA to get him to decrease the level of polyunsaturated fat in the margarine. So the evidence is out there. The Framingham study from the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and doctors will know what this is. Lay people won't. But Framingham, that's the most quoted medical study in the world, in doctor world. And the Framingham study showed clearly that heart disease is not associated with saturated fat. And that was the conclusion. The co-director of the Framingham study came out and said, this is the biggest medical fraud in the history of medicine. That the exact 180-degree opposite conclusion is being publicized. So we have to be careful with man's wisdom when we think we can improve on the original design. And that brings us to today's topic of nitric oxide. And I'll explain what nitric oxide is in a minute, but I'm going to take a breath and bring Morley in. I hate going on these long diatribes. I feel like I could go with 30 minutes or 60 minutes and just keep going because I get so fired up. One last thing. I had a patient call this weekend, or prospective patient call, and it was one of the saddest things. She's been sick. She's in her late 30s now. She's been sick since high school. Sick meaning anxiety, severe anxiety, horrible gut issues, and tachycardia. That's a fast heart rate. She's been to multiple cardiologists. It was controlled. The symptoms were controlled. This fast heart rate was controlled with a beta blocker. That's a class of drugs that can slow your heart rate. And so she's been on that for 20 years. They've increased the dose over the years, and now it's not working anymore. Never addressing the root cause. This is what motivates me. This young lady's lost hope. I mean, she's in the prime of her life. She's in her mid to late 30s. She should be living life and being who God made her to be and just going and blowing and not thinking about health and sure not sitting there crying on a Sunday afternoon talking to me. That should not. She should be the picture of health. So that is what motivates me to keep diving deeper and deeper and deeper into the truth and into what has caused this modern disease epidemic over the last 100 years. How can we go from one heart attack in the entire country 100 years ago to now 600,000 will die from heart disease this year or more? It's the number one leading cause of death. It's modern living and modern food. That's it. Stress, sugar, starch, processed food. So...
Let me sharpen the focus on that, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Please,
1973,
Morley.
A copper researcher named Leslie Clavey proved that lack of copper caused cholesterol to rise in mammals. And that research, to make it science, you have to have one other lab prove that that's true. 20 labs around the world proved that that was true at the time that they were making statin drugs. And so it was 5 cents worth of copper to stop the problem, or $5 worth of statins to treat the problem. And we know where that came out.
Yeah. Well, the part
that got completely ignored, including your August 2020 study, is that for a fact, iron, and only iron, is what causes fats to oxidize, to rust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an established fact. Chen Li, 2007, and I sent you the article, Dr. Ben, it's the most exhaustive study that I've ever seen where they proved again and again and again, every which way from Sunday, that iron is the only cause of lipid peroxidation that causes plaque in atherosclerosis, which is the mechanism that causes the 600,000 people to die in this country. So again, we've got a conflict, as we've always had a conflict. It isn't just bad eating. I try to get it down to the molecular mechanisms. It's a lack of copper that causes a rise of iron. And as soon as that those two minerals get out of sync with each other, we have oxidative stress. And what's a new variant on the term oxidative stress? It's called nitric oxide, which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But real quick, before you jump in, I think it's important for the listeners to understand something about the mind of the masses. And this was something that was studied in the 1930s in Germany. That 60 days after a lie is told to the populace, they cannot get the public to change their belief system. And here we are 65 years later than Ansel Keys, and the public is absolutely convinced they need to avoid fat. How do I know that? I sit in Starbucks every day and listen to everyone order a low-fat this, a low-fat that. People are terrified of saturated fat.
Yep.
And it's the number one mechanism that leads to metabolic dysfunction is a lack of saturated fat in the diet. And yet, 65 years have gone by. Well, that's how many multiples of 60 days. I at times lose faith in our ability to convince the masses because it only takes 60 days to solidify the lie in their mind. And that's a very frustrating statistic to deal with.
Yeah. Well, and I want to comment. You said to be science, you have to have someone replicate it, another lab replicate it. So that's what they went to do with Ansel Keys. Other labs, other researchers went to replicate it. And what they found was no, there's no association. And I've gone back and found those studies in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and those didn't get any headlines at all. It's crazy because of, I hate to say it, but it seems to be pretty clear when there's a there's other motives, there's other players, and it's usually a financial player. And for new listeners, I want to say that, remind everyone, of iron fortification of the food started in the 1940s. And we don't... 1941. And it again, with man's wisdom looking at pregnant ladies, they drop their hemoglobin. Hemoglobin's a protein in the red blood cell, and it's the marker for anemia. And someone observed that when ladies get pregnant, their hemoglobin drops, so they jump to the conclusion, we need to add more iron. And then they went to the further conclusion, let's just do it to the whole society and let's fortify everybody's food. Little did we know that it's normal for a woman's hemoglobin to drop down a little bit during pregnancy. It's from dilution. Their blood volume goes up. And there was a study of over 150,000 live births. I think this was in England. Morley could quote it. But the healthiest pregnancies, healthiest babies with the least amount of complications and best birth weights and everything else, best outcomes, were in the women who had the lower hemoglobins. So that's okay to have a lower hemoglobin during pregnancy. But we added the fortified iron in. Turns out we don't need that much iron. Imagine that. We only need about a milligram a day dietarily to replace what we lose that day. We don't need 18 milligrams in one cup of multigrain Cheerios. And this iron, excessively consumed in the modern diet, gets stored in your tissue, stored in your brain, in your liver, in your heart, in your joint, everywhere. And when you mix that iron that's overflowing in the cell and does not have copper there to harness it, to tame it, to escort it, to handle it. Iron has to be handled appropriately. And when you don't have copper there to do that, then the iron just bounces around your body and inflames every cell membrane, every mitochondrial membrane. It mixes with these polyunsaturated fatty acids. When you lack the proper mineral balance, you get metabolic chaos. We call it inflammation, and you can go Google the word inflammation or oxidative stress and your disease, whether it's Alzheimer's or diabetes or obesity or depression or autism or whatever. There's a link between this oxidative stress, inflammation, and every disease known to man, and just aging in general. But it didn't used to be that way. 100 years ago, George Catlin, or 150 years ago, all the American Indians were healthy as could be. They were fit. They were extremely healthy, and they lived long. And that's what Weston A. Price found when he traveled the world and lived with 14 different people groups around the world. They were healthy until they started eating modern food. All right, nitric oxide. Real quick, I'm going to give you my version of the nitric oxide story, and then we'll sit back for the next 40 minutes and try to absorb Morley's version of nitric oxide. So I was in medical school freshman year. Big party was thrown for the Nobel Prize. It was just awarded to Dr. Murad at UT Houston and two other guys too. They all three were onto this nitric oxide molecule, and they figured out it's this molecule that dilates the blood vessels, like your arteries. You know, think about high blood pressure, and that if the arteries get tight, then your pressure goes up. Or how do erectile dysfunction medications like Viagra work? They dilate the blood vessels. So there was this molecule that was known to be out there that dilates the blood vessels, but no one knew what it was. They hadn't named it. They hadn't really identified it. Well, these guys did, and it turned out to be nitric oxide. So big party, big Nobel Prize, and let's try to start making drugs and other things to just make a lot of nitric oxide. The nitric oxide's good. Let's just make a lot of it. And there's some guys who kind of figured that out. One guy in particular, Nathan Bryan, who's a PhD. Now I think he's an MD also. And he figured out a bunch of plants that you could juice, like kale and beets and arugula, and juice all these things and evaporate the water and get the powder, and you have a supplement now, Neo40, and there's others out there, that will boost your nitric oxide production just arbitrarily. And side note there, Nathan Bryan was hired by a drug company. He moved up to Boston, and they wanted him to produce a drug, a pharmaceutical equivalent of this plant compound supplement thing he had come up with. Spent 7 years trying to do it. Could not do it. Could not get the same results from chemical replications of these plant molecules. So he went back to Houston and kept selling the supplement. So I always thought of nitric oxide as a great beneficial molecule. Let's just pour it into the body as much as we can, and it'll just get everybody's blood pressure low, help with ED, help with hair growth, you name it, this miracle molecule. And I think that's mostly where doctors are at and the public who looks at nitric oxide or reads an article about it. But there's more to the story that we need to consider. And that's where Morley comes in. Morley, I've read most of the articles you've sent me, but I'm pretty sure Morley sent me more articles on nitric oxide than any other molecule that we've talked about on the show besides copper, retinol, and iron, and magnesium. So, I mean, that's saying a lot there, Morley. So what's your take, and how'd you get onto the nitric oxide?
You know, it's a great question. I read an article that referred to nitric oxide as a signaling molecule, and then you read an article that says it's booger booger bad, and then you read the article that says that they get a Nobel Prize. And I said, wait a minute, it can't be all three. You know, what's really going on? Of course, my instincts now are to go back, not forward. I don't trust the contemporary literature. I go back. Well, I decided to start with the basics. How much nitrogen is in the air? It's 78% of the air is nitrogen. Of the air we breathe, the other 21% is oxygen. And so that's an intriguing. We're breathing nitrogen all the time. And then I started to dig into it. And I think the question that was missing in Houston when they were so excited about their discovery was, why is nitric oxide low? What's happening? And it's very clear that when when a body is producing a lot of superoxide, and superoxide is an oxygen molecule with an extra electron, it's very grumpy, and Mother Nature has come to the rescue, and it has since the beginning of time, to say, well, let's use nitric oxide to neutralize that superoxide, and it gets turned into what's called peroxynitrite. And again, we're led to believe that that's bad. In fact, it's just another signaling molecule. And again, if you don't ask why is the nitric oxide low, then you get distracted by this metabolite, and you go down a bunny trail of discovery. And the thing is that nitric oxide, it's telling us that there's inflammation. That's what it's really telling us. It's a marker for inflammation. It's a marker. What does inflammation mean? It means that iron is not being metabolized properly. It means that copper can't turn oxygen into ATP. And because those basics are not taught in doctor school, and again, when I say doctor school, I'm not talking about MDs. I'm talking about all doctors. Doesn't matter what degree they have. The level of ignorance that exists in doctor school about how energy is made. I was with a world-renowned oncologist, a friend of mine, in D.C. this weekend. This guy is, I'm not going to say his name, but he's one of the preeminent oncologists on the planet. And we were having a nice conversation outside of his home. And I said, do you know how energy is made in the body? And he said, well, ATP. I said, no, seriously, how is it made? He said, I have no idea. And I said, and you're an oncologist, right? And you're treating people because they have a lack of energy production, but you don't know how it's made? And I wasn't trying to shame him, but he was certainly uncomfortable with the question. And that's the, to me, that's the glaring defect of all doctors. They don't know that energy deficiency is the start of every disease state that's in the Mark family.
Yeah, let me just chime in. And also, not only every chronic disease, but acute infections. Everyone's wanting to talk about COVID. We've talked about it ad nauseum. When you don't make energy and you don't clear exhaust efficiently, you're going to be more susceptible to chronic disease and acute infections. And that's why we see 94% of people that have succumbed to COVID had multiple comorbidities, other chronic diseases. That's a marker. If you have chronic disease, that's a marker that you're not making, at the cellular level, you're not making energy or clearing exhaust or both. And I want to just also say, medical school wise, I've come to understand, especially through this whole COVID thing, we are not producing or encouraging critical thinking in medical school, or probably any level of school. It's all about rote memorization. Memorize a bunch of facts and regurgitate them for the test. Forget most of it within a couple of weeks, and then get into the hospital for your clinical rotations, and you just learn the protocols. There are set algorithm protocols. If someone has chest pain or a headache or this or that, whatever the symptom is, and there's step one, step two, and step three diagnostically. And then once you diagnose some, which is just a label, someone has a headache, you need to know if it's a sinus headache, a tension headache, a migraine headache, or a headache from a subdural hematoma because they fell and hit their head. Some of those are deadly and some are not, and they all have different drugs or surgeries that fix them. So it's all about diagnosing. So in medical school, we do all the fancy tests to get a diagnosis, get a label, and then there's a drug. It's a matching game. The diagnosis has a drug match to it. You just match it up. So it's memorization, it's algorithms, it's protocols. It's not critical thinking, and that's why one of the top oncologists in the country can't tell you how energy is made. And that's why my buddy, a family practitioner, who's a great guy and super great doctor and all that, but he told me when I mentioned energy production in the cell, he goes, isn't that little mitochondria thingy? which I had to bite my tongue because I didn't want to shame him either, because I was in the exact same place 8 years ago. Patients or people, the general public needs to understand that doctors are really smart folks and they love people, but they get put into a system that teaches them to regurgitate, memorize information, and then to follow set protocols that are a pharmaceutical-based solution. Even though the medical literature is clear, 90 to 95% of all cancer is not genetic, it's diet and lifestyle related. Heart disease, 85% conservatively, it's diet and lifestyle related. So we know these top killers are diet and lifestyle related, but none of the answers taught in medical school are diet and lifestyle related. They're drug related. Yeah. So people need to know that. You need to have informed consent, that doctors know one narrow way, and that's to treat your symptom with a pharmaceutical, but it's not going to get to the root of it, and that's how you can have an oncologist tell Morley he doesn't really know how energy's made. So go ahead, Morley.
So, you know, I was trained in business, went to business school. You know, what gets measured gets matters. That's the aphorism in business school. And so one of the most important things you learn in business is nothing happens until a sale is made. No business can exist without sales. You gotta sell something, right? Well, inside the cells, nothing happens until ATP is made. You gotta be able to make energy. And if you can't make energy, as soon as the cell can't make energy, it's giving off exhaust. And the level of exhaust starts to rise. And the exhaust, what I've been focusing on for several years has been the oxygen exhaust. And what I'm now beginning to realize and learn is that there's nitrogen exhaust being given off. As soon as the oxygen molecule that's in the mitochondria turns into superoxide, well, it's got to get neutralized. Well, there's two ways to neutralize it. You can use an enzyme that has copper inside it called superoxide dismutase. It's probably one of the most important enzymes in the body. You know, it's discovered in 1968 by Joe McCord and his faculty advisor at Duke, Erwin Fedorovich. They didn't get a Nobel Prize because it revealed too much. But the point is, superoxide dismutase is really, really important for mammals, especially human mammals, that have oxidative stress. But what I learned, which was a complete surprise, is that nitric oxide neutralizes superoxide 3.5 times faster than that enzyme, superoxide dismutase. That's an amazing discovery. The nitric oxide is designed to help animals deal with their exhaust. But then it begs the question, so how do people get hypertension, or how do people get erectile dysfunction, or how do people get alopecia because they have low nitric oxide? Well, that must mean they have a lot of oxidative stress. And then that means there's a relationship. Copper has a relationship with all of the different variations of oxygen and its ability to neutralize them. And what I've come to realize is, lo and behold, copper has a relationship with all the different variations of nitrogen. That there is, in fact, a part of the mitochondria that produces nitric oxide. How about that? And that nitric oxide has an affinity for complex 4, which is a copper-dependent part of the mitochondria, and it's designed to dampen the amount of energy that's being produced. It's all signaling taking place inside these organelles, and it turns out that when you're talking about the dietary forms of nitrates, you know, beets and green leafy greens and things like that, very rich sources of nitrates in those foods. Well, guess who turns nitrites and nitrates into nitric oxide? It's a copper-dependent process. Wow. And guess what? The very enzyme that turns L-arginine into nitric oxide is called soluble guanylate cyclase. Guess what? It's a copper-dependent enzyme. How about that? And so suddenly we realize that nitrogen and oxygen are dependent on bioavailable copper. And because those doctors back in the 1990s, and they got their award in 1998, because they didn't ask why is it low, they weren't thinking about could there be a relationship with oxygen that we don't know about? Could that be what's behind this? And the thing is, nitric oxide is naturally produced in our bodies, and it's an essential part of our metabolism. But if you don't understand how it gets made by turning L-arginine into nitric oxide or taking nitrates and nitrates and turning it into nitric oxide, and then it's going to be bouncing back and forth depending on what the need is, then it appears really mysterious. And then, I don't think I sent you these articles, Ben, but that got me to nitrogen fixation in the soil. It's absolutely amazing. And 90% of the nitrogen fixation that takes place on the planet takes place in the soil by microbes in the soil, in the topsoil. So 90% is called biological fixation, and 10% is called atmospheric fixation. It takes place in the atmosphere. Now, there was a Nobel Prize that was awarded in 1918 to a Fritz Haber, and he's the guy that created fertilizer. He fixed nitrogen using an enzyme called nitrogenase, which is iron dependent, and he got a Nobel Prize for it. Fascinating. But 90% of it is done in the soil. I'll go way out on a limb, Dr. Ben. What metal do you think the microbes need in order to fix hydrogen onto nitrogen so it's usable in the soil?
I'm sure it's that pesky old copper.
Ding, ding, ding. And so, and what did they then do? After the First World War, they took the synthetic fertilizer that we now know as NPK, and they started laying it on topsoil all over the planet. And guess what NPK blocks? Copper.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work in the soil the way it's supposed to. And so now we have 90 years of farmers thinking that NPK is okay, when in fact for millennia, the Earth knew exactly how to fixate nitrogen, allowing copper to do its magic. And it's just everywhere we turn is the need for bioavailable copper. And let me just, I'm going to introduce one more factoid, and then I'll open it up for everyone to breathe a little bit.
Well, and we'll have to take a break too. After that.
So what I learned over the weekend that I didn't know is that 95% of the copper in our body is in our organs, and 5% is in our blood. So let's use round numbers. So let's say there's 100 milligrams of copper in the body. That means it's 5 milligrams is in the blood. 5 milligrams, not very much. And where's 80% of the iron in our body? It's in hemoglobin. And that's about 2,500 milligrams of iron.
Mm.
5 milligrams of copper regulates 2,500 milligrams of iron. And if there's just a slight deficiency of copper, that 2,500 milligrams of iron starts to act out and go crazy. So we're talking about very small numbers of copper atoms that dictate the health and vitality of humans. And it's almost unbelievable that people are so sick because they're missing just a little bit of copper in their body. It's absolutely amazing. So,
well, Well, when we come back from the break, because I think we have a lot of new listeners lately, we'll remind everybody how to get copper and the difference between bioavailable copper and just any copper supplement out there, and how stress even impacts your body's ability to utilize that copper. So y'all stick with us. I'm Ben Edwards. You're The Cure. We're interviewing Morley Robbins. We didn't get to formally introduce him. If y'all are new to the show, Morley Robbins' website, RCP, that stands for Root Cause Protocol. RCP123.org is Morley's website, a.k.a. the Magnesium Man. It mostly talks about copper. y'all check out VeritasWellness.health. Sign up for the class. Learn how to be the cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9. I want to apologize for all the back and forth on Facebook Live. It's a little bit difficult sometimes, Dr. Edwards, to do the over-the-air broadcast when we're clean and coming from the board to Facebook. So we're trying our best here. But Morley back with us, Morley Robbins. And, of course, always check out the website, VeritasWellness.health. But Morley will try it again with you. Hopefully we got a cleaner audio with Morley on the next segment.
And just to remind everybody, you can always listen to the replays of this. We're on iTunes. We archive this on our medical website, VeritasMedical.com, under Radio Show tab. And also it all goes up on our YouTube channel, Veritas Wellness on YouTube. So it'll be up there later today with the clean audio of that. But we're able to reach so many people on live, it seems like it's crazy. I did a video Friday, and I think it's like at 750,000 views now. And the video was basically just explaining how we're over the pandemic, and now we're into a case-demic, and how the data is clear around the world, throughout Europe, the northern U.S., and the southern U.S., of course, came later. I explained that in the video. So y'all can go watch that. It's also on our Veritas Wellness YouTube page. But kind of the craziness of where we're at, the policy decisions being made based off cases with a testing mechanism that's not real accurate. And in a clinical situation where young people are really not affected at all by this virus, herd immunity appears to have been reached. But death curves are back to normal. Hospitalizations, ICUs are back to normal. So. But that video went a little viral. So the Facebook Live things, they can really reach a lot of people. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach the masses with the truth, because the truth will set you free. You can be healthy. We weren't designed to be sick. I mean, 70% of Americans are either overweight or obese. The obese part's now 42%, I believe. Only 12% of Americans are metabolically flexible, based out of the NHANES study, and that study is like 4 years old now, so it's probably less than 12% of us. Metabolically flexible means you have mitochondria that work well, work efficiently, make energy well, and clear the exhaust well. But that means you have to feed that mitochondria what it needs, which is high-quality ancestral nutrition full of good saturated fat, because the saturated fat from good sources have a great amount of vitamins. And these fat-soluble vitamins, like retinol, vitamin A, help to, in combination with the minerals that are especially copper that's found in the organs. Morley mentioned 95% of the copper is found in the organs. What do we not eat anymore? Besides not eating saturated fat and eating processed vegetable oils instead, we don't eat organ meats. We used to. They used to be coveted, in fact, especially for ladies that were about to be pregnant. When a young lady got married, some tribes would kind of quarantine that lady for 6 months, a newlywed, and feed her the organ meats from every kill, because they knew somehow there was this ancestral wisdom, ancient wisdom, I think, I believe from a divine origin. But that's where the minerals are at. So we need the good fats. We need the minerals from the organ meats. You put them together. Also, we need peace. We'll talk about that, how fight or flight makes your copper go offline, not usable. So it's these real basic things, and it's just hard to wrap your mind around that, man, the body could just be healthy, because no one is anymore. And so now we fear germs and we fear genes. Both of those get trumped by terrain. It's all about your diet and lifestyle. It's this exhaust that Morley's talking about that's not dealt with properly. These oxidants with oxygen. that's what goes over. It's this dirty smoke coming out of your mitochondria, your carburetor, that goes over and turns on your bad genes. The genes are secondary. Genes are books on a bookshelf full of information, but you can keep the right ones turned on and the wrong ones turned off. This has been proven. This is an opinion. This is proven medical data that we can keep these genes turned on and off. And Weston A. Price found that people were resilient against tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is way more deadly than COVID-19 and contagious. And certain villages were resistant to it. And the village right down the road with the same people group, the same genes, they were dying from it. What was the difference? Modern food had moved in to the one village, processed flour and sugar. All right, Morley, back to copper. 5 milligrams in the blood, 95 milligrams in the organs, in the cells. Let's go to the practical things of a person, especially new listeners, that want to get this copper in. Bioavailable copper versus supplemental copper. Let's talk about that.
Right. Before we do that, let's just make sure that the listeners understand. Anybody that has a label, has a symptom that they're worried about, means that they have low bioavailable copper because they have oxidative stress that's causing that label to occur. And it occurs in different parts of the body for a lot of different reasons, not the least of which is lack of peace in their life that affects different organ parts, depending on whatever the emotion is that you're dealing with. So if you're dealing with fear, it's going to be the kidneys. Dealing with lack of joy, it's going to be in your heart. And so, you know, every body part has an emotion attached to it. So it's important for people to realize that the foundation of all these labels in the Merck manual is from oxidative stress being created in the mitochondria that are producing too much exhaust because they can't make... They can't turn oxygen into energy cleanly. That's the bottom line. And the only way you can do that is to have bioavailable copper. And what makes copper bioavailable, which is what Dr. Bend is trying to get to, is our diet. And we need to have good sources of copper. And the three that we seem to hone in on are bee pollen. You can't pollinate a flower, and you can't pollinate an animal unless you have copper. It's an established biological fact. And so there's copper in that pollen, along with rich source of B vitamins and other nutrients. But there is copper there. Another important source of copper is real vitamin C complex. It's found in food and down in the select few vitamin supplements, like Innate Response or Pure Synergy. There are only maybe a handful of companies. Paleo Valley has a really good source. But ascorbic acid, despite what the label says on the bottle, ascorbic acid is not the full vitamin C complex. And so ascorbic acid, in fact, blocks copper metabolism, blocks copper absorption, increases iron storage. Everything that we don't want to have done in our body is triggered by the ascorbic acid shell that's found in the covering of the vitamin C complex is ascorbic acid. But if there are a handful of other components of vitamin C that are missing in that ascorbic acid, very, very destructive synthetic substance. And then the richest source of copper is the organ meats, and beef liver has the richest balance of copper to iron. All liver has copper and iron in it, but beef liver has a particularly high balance. It's twice as much copper as there is iron in beef liver when it is grass-fed. Why is it important for animals to eat grass-fed food? Because there's vitamin C complex in the grass. How about that? And when they turned the diet of animals that like to eat grass, turned them into eating grain, it changed everything in their physiology. And so that changed the composition of minerals in their liver. And so grain-fed liver is nowhere near the same benefit as grass-fed. And so it's important to go back to the basics and understand that our ancestors who used to eat muscle meat and used to eat organ meats and threw the muscle meats to the dogs, now we are a modern society, very sophisticated, and we're proud of the fact that we eat muscle meats and we throw the organ meats to the dogs. Everything is the exact opposite of what it should be. And so the other challenging part of this is that there really are virtually no copper supplements that will restore copper status. And it's very, very frustrating. There's some notable exceptions like reverse skin aging out in Oregon has a series of copper creams that seem to be very effective. There used to be a product that was made by Standard Process, but that's no longer made, no longer produced. And all of the copper supplements that are found in supplement bottles are the wrong type of copper. And our body can't convert it to the right type of copper because of all the antibiotics that we've taken over the course of our lifetime. So it isn't a simple case of running down to the GNC and buying a copper supplement and, you know, take two and call me in the morning. It's not going to work. We've got to find this critical mineral in our and be able to that Mother Nature is going to take care of us in that process. So the protocol, the root cause protocol, when you go to rcp123.org, you donate your email address, which we will honor and protect, but in exchange for that, you will get access to a 32-page document that lays out a series of things to stop doing that are causing disruption to your copper status and energy production and ability to eliminate oxidative stress. And there's a series of things to start doing so that you can begin to build up the minerals, the vitamin complexes, and the nutrients in food to allow energy production to become optimal and allow the metabolic pathways to start to work again. And this is a protocol that was stolen from Mother Nature, and I'm very proud to say that once these nutrients get into our body, the body knows exactly what to do with it. And it's absolutely magical how people regain their energy. Now, is it a straight line? Unfortunately, it's not. Some people have histamine reactions. Some people have concerns about blood donations that we highly recommend as part of the process. There are lack of peace issues, as Dr. Ben says, that need to be resolved as well. Because when you have lack of peace, you're going to have hypoxia. It's a biological reaction to fear. Once you have hypoxia, you have a buildup of oxidative stress in the mitochondria. And it's a very well-studied phenomenon. So there are many facets to this process of recovery. And I think the beauty of the four pillars that Dr. Ben's program is built around aligns perfectly with the components of the root cause protocol. And that's why there's so much synergy and compatibility between the two platforms. I think it all comes down to trying to lower the oxidative stress by rebuilding and restoring the minerals, the vitamin complexes, and the nutrients and food to allow the mitochondria to make energy to support bodily processes that need to be taking place.
Yeah. And I can testify, and I know more than I can too, to many, many, many thousands of clients or patients whose body cures itself when it's stewarded properly, when it is given what it needs and avoid what it doesn't need. But for people to know how to do this, they need the education. And some people, mostly these, you know, Western type A society, you know, us doctor types, we need the evidence. We need the science. We need the studies. I dare not do a Facebook Live video about COVID without putting out a whole bunch of peer-reviewed data. You can't just spout off your opinions or your thoughts. I mean, you can. But people just love to see data. And Morley spends every morning pouring through the data, the published studies. And as he said, he goes backwards, not forwards a lot of times. And I've heard this from multiple doctors. We had Chris Kenobi on a few weeks ago, and he said the same thing. The best literature is pre-1950, before there was such bias and influence of financial stakes. So Morley does that. He goes back in time and really pieces a lot of this together, which is why we appreciate them and have them on to help connect those dots, because people need that. But then for people that need some of the hand-holding on the practical, how do you walk through these diet and lifestyle changes, that's why I decided to put together VeritasWellness.health and the classes you can do there. Very, very affordable. I think it's $49 right now, this special introductory time. But we're here to bring you the evidence, bring you the proof, try to connect the dots, and support you along the way. The RCP step 1, 2, 3 program, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, it's all laid out right there for you. Get the ebook downloaded for free when you go to rcp123.org. So I encourage y'all to do that. Morley, thank you for bringing some nitric oxide discussion. I think we may have to have an extended 3-hour talk about this on another platform in the future to really dive deep.
Real quick before we go, let me just make one point for the listeners. The dynamics around nitric oxide are not low or high. As soon as, you know, like kidney disease is a classic sign of what's called low nitric oxide. Coronary disease, coronary heart disease, same thing. You know, hypertension, same thing. Well, it's not low. The issue is it's not being properly regulated. This is a gas that's meant to be a signaling molecule in the body to help the patty cake of metabolic functions. As soon as nitric oxide is deemed low, wink, wink, or high, wink, wink, you know you have a copper issue. You know you have an iron issue. You know you have oxidative stress issues. And that's what people need to do, is not get distracted by the conventional mindset that, oh, it's low, we gotta add more. No, it's not being properly regulated. We got to figure out what's the mechanism that's out of balance that needs to be brought back into balance, and that's what the focus of these conversations is.
Right. Well, thank you. It is all about balance. The body can function all the days of your life exactly how it's supposed to do, and how George Catlin observed the Native Americans in the 1800s living a full, robust, healthy life. No such thing as disease in those tribes. And they lived a long life, mentally and physically fit, until their spirit was called home. That's how we should be. So y'all join us next week. Patrick McKee on The Oxygen Advantage. We'll be talking about nasal breathing, and nitric oxide is going to come up in that conversation too. And stress and sympathetic dominance leading to this dysfunction in the body because of an imbalance in just the breathing, but rooted in lack of peace. So y'all join us next week, and then Morley, we'll look forward to having you again to hear more of what you discover in the next month.
Okay, can't wait. Okay,
y'all check out Morley's site, rcp123.org, and sign up for the wellness class, VeritasWellness.health. See you next week.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM.